I have to apologize for being a liar, because I told you last week that I was going to do part two of my series about what you're thinking on, but it hit me about Thursday. It was Mother's Day this week, because normally my mom, her birthday is the 13th, which I kind of joke with her this year, it's Friday the 13th anyway, but it's always usually Mother's Day and her birthday is really close together. In fact, she was born on Mother's Day. And so I was actually thinking Mother's Day was next weekend. And so about Thursday was Mother's Day, but that still didn't even faze me. Like, okay, it's Mother's Day. And, started thinking about that. And then it hit me yesterday, Mother's Day. Most churches, have a Mother's Day sermon on Mother's Day. And I told them I was going to do part two. But so we'll do part two some next time I speak. I know Dad's speaking next week, but I feel that we need to honor our moms, today, and to talk about our moms a little bit. And so I just want to speak a little bit of about moms and moms' influences on children and old people too, adults, as we grow up. I think our mom is probably, the greatest influence on each and every one of us. And it's interesting because it seems that moms never give up on their children. I mean, I've seen a lot of dads kind of give up sometimes, but moms, they seem to always be there. I guess there's something about, that 9 months, whenever they're in your belly, or something about that closeness that you have. For dads, you have to wait till actually the baby comes out before it becomes more of a reality. I know you get to feel the stomach and see the kicks and all that kind of stuff, but, that's not till the baby's born where you actually, wow, it's a baby. But moms, then you don't know what to do. But, moms, they get a feeler growing on the inside and things change or whatever. They crave stuff they've never craved before, like peanut butter or pickle sandwiches or something stupid like that. It's a little different, but I think moms are special people. In fact, it's interesting whenever, they'll troll the sidelines of a football game or whatever. And always, it's always, "Hi, Mom." No one ever says, "Hi, Dad." It's not like, even people come to the sporting events with signs to say, "Hi, Mom." I mean, not that dads aren't important, but it's something about their mom. I mean, I guess, their mom was there. Really, if you think about it, your mom was there before you even knew it. Before you could even, you were just, from the beginning, your mom's always been there. And it's just an interesting bond. I don't know how many testimonies I've heard people give over the years. And it said something like this: "I thank God for a praying mom." I mean, I think moms have been the inspiration for many people's testimonies. And sometimes that, it gets to a point where moms don't really have any actual influence as far as their word, but prayer changes things. And so it's interesting. I want to read a few quotes that I read about moms and what people say about them. Abraham Lincoln said a few things about his mom. He says, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." So everything he's ever accomplished, he said he owed to his mom. He also said this. He says, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they've always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." So he remembers he had a praying mom, and probably if it wasn't for his mom, he probably would have never became president. We don't realize that, our early influences on us really probably decide what's going to happen to us in later on in life. John S.C. Abbott says this: "As mothers have as powerful an influence over the welfare of future generations as all other earthly causes combined." So that's how powerful moms are. Denzel Washington said this. It says, "My mother never gave up on me. I messed up in school so much they were sending me home, but my mother sent me right back." I guess he must have been a troublemaker, but, maybe the school didn't believe in him, but his mom still did. Mom made him go. Here's another quote. It says, "My mother said to me, 'If you become a soldier, you'll be a general. If you become a monk, you'll end up as the Pope.'" So she had a lot of praise for her son. "Instead, I became a painter and wound up as Picasso." Pablo Picasso said that. Interesting how a mom's, she believed in her son, and because she believed, he became something. Like I said, it's mom that helps us change. Now, this is kind of a funny thing. This is the stages of motherhood. A lot of us will relate. You know, this is how a child thinks of their mom. At 4 years of age, my mom can do anything. At 8, my mom knows a lot, a whole lot. At 12, my mother doesn't really know quite everything. At 14, naturally, mother doesn't know that either. At 16, mother, she's hopelessly old-fashioned. At 18, that old woman, she's way out of date. 25, well, she might know a little bit about it. At 35, well, before we decide, let's go get mom's opinion. At 45, I wonder what mom would have thought about it. At 65, wish I could talk it over with mom, author unknown. You know, it's interesting a lot of times that we, as a child, obviously, we think our mom and even our dad, you know, they know everything. But sometimes we go through some formative years and we think our parents are out of touch with society. You know, they have political views that aren't really, you know, they're not really what their kids believe in. But it's interesting, as we get older, we found out our parents knew a whole lot. You know, but sometimes it gets to be the time whenever they're not around anymore that we wish they were. And it's interesting. I know I've heard my dad say many times, and, you know, I felt the same way, but especially more with my dad. He goes, you know, I just wish my dad wasn't around to be able to talk to and ask him questions about things. And so, you know, I think that we need to cherish our mom and our dad, you know, for as long as possible, because a lot of times that, you know, they're not around that much longer. I know for my own self, as my grandparents started passing on, you know, I started thinking, you know, well, some people my own age didn't even have any grandparents. And so I really, my two grandmothers were around the longest. In fact, one of my grandmothers lived till 93, I think it was. And so, you know, I purposed, now she actually lived in Texas, so I couldn't get to see her all the time, but I tried to spend more time every time, you know, because it's, you know, they're not always around all forever. So sometimes, you know, we don't really appreciate everything that they knew and all the wisdom they had for us until they're gone. This is pretty cool. This is the best translation of the Bible. Here we go. There were four clergymen who were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version best because it was simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Revised Version best because it's more literal and comes nearer to the original Hebrew and Greek. Still another liked the Moffat's translation best because it's up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister was silent when asked to express his opinion. He replied, "I like my mom's translation best." The other three expressed surprise. They did not know his mom had translated the Bible. "Yes, she did," he replied. "She translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw." That's Douglas Murray Sr. said that. You know, moms, they live the word in front of us a lot of times. And I just praise God for having a godly mom and a godly influence. You know, and our moms are not always perfect. I know mine's not, even though most of you probably think she is. She's not perfect. But she's still mom. And there's times that we get frustrated at our mom and our dad, but you know what? You know, God's put them in our life to be an influence over us. Former first mom Barbara Bush said this: whatever times, one thing never changes. Fathers and mothers, if you have children, they must come first. Your success as a family, our success as a society, depends not on what happens in the White House, but what happens inside your house. And I think that's what sometimes we miss. You know, I know right now we're in the middle of a presidential election, and we understand the president does have a lot of influence over the nation and over actually the world. But the biggest influence of the nation and of the world is right there in your own house. Us as parents, you know, moms, dads, you know, we have, you know, grandparents, we have the most influence over the nations, you know, and really, you know, over the society that we live in. A lot of times that we blame society for, you know, kind of for their values. But, you know, the Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart. You know, a lot of times we're not doing our jobs as parents to train up a child, you know, in the way that they should go. A lot of times because we get so busy with society, so busy with everything going on, you know, we've let the world train up our kids, and then we gripe about our kids wanting to be part of the world. But, you know, TV and internet's not there to raise your kids. You are. And so as mothers and fathers, I think we have a responsibility to raise our kids in the way it should be. Over in Proverbs, there's a couple of scriptures about mom. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I'll read from the New Living Translation mainly because I was already in it whenever I looked it up. And sometimes it's a better translation because it puts it in the language that we understand. It says, "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." You know, it's interesting. It says, you know, don't neglect your mother's instruction. I mean, our mom leads us and guides us and gives us, kind of puts us on the right path. Now, you know, at some point they don't have complete control, but it's interesting how much influence our mothers have on our lives. Probably it seems even more, this is Craig's own perspective. It seems that mothers have a lot more influence on a son's life sometimes than even the daughters. I mean, I've seen some rough and tumble kids, you know, that it's interesting that they're rough and tumble whenever that, but when their mom's around, they straighten up pretty quick. Their mom has a lot of influence. I don't know if some of you remember on TV whenever they had the riots, I think it was in Baltimore, and you know, one kid was rioting, and his mom went and found him. Anyone ever see that on TV? His mom went and found him, and he drug him off, said, you ain't going to be doing that, right there on national TV. And, you know, we could all see that she was literally beating him up, you know, and literally that, you know, the guy, he was big enough to, if he didn't want to, he didn't have to let it happen. But you know what? It was his mom. There's something about your mom that, you know, just changes you. Also in Proverbs 15:20, it says this: "Sensible children bring joy to their father. Foolish children despise their mother." Yeah, I know one thing. You know, it's I don't know if the word funny is the best word, but I got in trouble a whole lot faster for not obeying my mom than not obeying my dad. A lot of times, my dad let me talk back, but if I crossed my mom, my dad would get on to me for crossing my mom. There was just something about, you know, need to heed what your mom says. You know, it's interesting because Jesus' first miracle was because of his mom. I don't know if any of you realize that. At the wedding in Cana, over in John 2, read it, it says, this is NLT, it says, "The next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told them they have no more wine." Now, the reason that she said that is because, you know, that was an embarrassment for the family because they had run out. I mean, that was going to be embarrassing to the family. Now, I like the translation here. It says, Jesus replied, well, it said, first of all, "So Jesus' mother told them they have no more wine. Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. So he said, "It's not our problem they have no wine. It means it's not my family. It's not like it's you or whatever, you know." And so then he says, "My time has not yet come." So it wasn't time for him to start, you know, his miracles or whatever. But his mom didn't even listen. Understand that? His mom didn't even let him. It didn't matter what Jesus said. He said, it's not time for me to show forth that. But she just went to the servants and told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." I mean, it doesn't even say that he went back and told Jesus, "Okay, go tell him something." Maybe Jesus was standing right there in front of the servants. I don't know. Or maybe he was put on the spot. I don't know, but it's interesting how a mom can influence. I mean, Jesus' mom is the one who influenced him, even when he said it wasn't even time. Now, I don't know what that means. I mean, I don't know what he says it wasn't time. I don't know if if God had told Jesus when time was, but it wasn't time yet. But you know what? His mother still overrode it. So, you know, I think if Jesus' mom had that much influence on his life, I think, you know, our mom has probably just as much influence on our life. And so he says, "My time is not yet, but We all know the story. He says, do whatever he told him. Standing nearby, there were 6 water jars used for the Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the disciples, fill up the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some water out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instruction. When the master of the ceremony tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where to come from, through a course, the course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. I said, a host always serves the best wine first. He says, then when everyone had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Now, what's interesting part about it, we don't necessarily even get it, is that whatever Jesus does, it's always the best. We hear the story about, well, you save the best to last, but Jesus always gives us the best, because he always has the best for us. You know, when we put our trust in him, he's always going to give us the best. You know, and a lot of times that even sometimes we don't expect the best because we don't expect that we were good enough, but it's not about being good enough. It's about that he loves us that much. You know, and like I said, good godly moms are awesome. I mean, their influence is incredible over many people, and I believe that probably everybody that's probably has made it in life at some stages, most of them probably owe it to their mom for being there. Because if you can't get you on the right track to begin with, you know, it's hard to get on that track. Because you've heard story after story about people who've came from situations, you know, that were, you know, like I said, they lived on the other end of the track, so to speak, or lived in the ghetto. But it didn't matter where they came from, because it really, what's on the outside wasn't the most important part, but what was on the inside. And what was on the inside had to be put on the inside somehow, some way. It all starts with the mom. And I think that we need to, you know, think about that more as we become parents to kids. And, you know, it's interesting. I think I've learned more over the last couple of years than I have in a long time. I mean, as you know, that we're raising our granddaughter, and I'm thinking, man, I'm a whole lot better dad to my granddaughter than I was to my own kids, you know, because I think now as I'm older, I appreciate things a little more. You know, of course, a lot of times too, you know, when I was younger, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, it's interesting because when the first one comes out, you don't know what you're doing, and you know, then the second one comes out, you're like, well, you kind of have it down. Third one comes out, you know, well, you got this under control. But, you know, I found out here now, you know, number of years later, after we thought we were through trying to raise little ones and change diapers and stuff, that now we're, you know, raising a precious young baby. And it's interesting, you know, now I do spoil her probably a lot more than I spoiled my kids too. And plus it's a girl, so that's another thing. But, you know, it is interesting how much we do learn over the years and how much more I appreciate things and don't take things for granted, and how much more that I'm, you know, try to put more time and effort and being there for the kids, because I think that's an important part. I think that a lot of kids, you know, they need their mothers and their fathers to be there, to be an influence, to be a godly influence. Of course, we know our one of, I'm not sure if I call it my favorite scriptures, but the scripture, my dad read the scripture to me more than anything else, because he would read to me this scripture every time I would get a whipping. You know, and that's over in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, children, obey your parents. From the New Living says this, children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you and you'll have a long life on the earth. And my dad always said, the reason I'm whipping you is because you can have a long life on the earth. And I'm like, you know, well, I can have long life without you whipping me anyway. But it does say to honor our father and our mother both. And I believe that we need, as children, we need a better job of doing that. You know, but it doesn't actually at any point say that you're now old enough to not to honor them. You know, because a lot of times, you know, maybe we're okay with that scripture when we're younger, but as we get older, sometimes we think, well, we don't have to honor our parents, but we need to continue to honor our parents, you know, all the days of their life. Now, there are some times we can disagree with our parents, but still honor them. You know, you can disagree with people and still honor them. You can still respect their opinion. You can still, you know, care about them. You know, sometimes people just want to have an opinion. They just want to at least speak into your life, you know, whether you take their opinion or not. But I found out that most of the time that my parents actually have pretty good opinions. Sometimes they don't, but you know, doesn't help to honor them and let them speak into your life. I know my mom has had a lot of influence in my life. But the biggest influence that my mom has was teaching me that I can do all things. Her favorite scripture, Philippians 4:13, you know, that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The New Living says it this way. It says, for I can do everything through Christ that gives me the strength. And, you know, so many times, that's her favorite scripture, and that's what she leans on. And so many times that she's quoted that scripture to me, especially, you know, at work more than anything else. And, you know, because I've told her before, well, Mama, you know, I can't do that, or we can't do that. And she tells me there's a scripture that says we can. So then, you know, I had to turn things around because, you know, literally there are things we can do. But it's just like, I don't know how many have seen our globe that we have on our main campus. We have a globe that comes down from the ceiling of our sanctuary. And so when Mom said that she wanted a globe, first of all, I said, we can't do it because we actually checked with everyone. We checked with Walt Disney. We checked with all the theme parks and see, you know, if anyone has something like that. You know, no one's really ever at that time had done anything like that. So I said, we can't do it. My mom says that, well, we can do it. So then I changed. I said, well, we can do it. I just don't know what it's going to cost to do it. But if you want to pay for it, we'll do it. All right. And we actually had a guy that designed it, engineered it, and put it together, and you know, we did it. And it wasn't as expensive as it could have been. We did a lot of stuff ourselves. But it's interesting, you know, whenever you want to do something, you can. And God will give us he'll give us the strength. He'll give us the idea, you know. And I know one of the most unique things that my mom did in teaching me this scripture was whenever she decided to help me be a songwriter. Back we were writing the alma mater. We decided that our school, we adopted a school song from a song that was already out, and we kind of just used it as a school song. But Mom decided one year that she wanted to actually write a school song to sing at graduation there at Rhema. And at the time, I was in charge of the Rhema graduation. And if anyone ever, you know, get a chance, you should come to see our Rhema graduation. We graduate this year, I think it's the 19th or 20th. It's a Friday night coming up. And we have many, many different things in our graduation that I want to say that I actually am the one who put it into practice. Now, I'm not the one who had the idea. It was Mom had the idea. I'm to put it into practice. We have a flag ceremony that Mom decided we should have a flag ceremony. And so she didn't know how we're going to have a flag ceremony. She just said she wanted a bunch of flags. And so we developed a flag ceremony where they march in with the flags of their nation, and they march out and they come through the flags. We took a few years to perfect how we want. Then she saw we had a graduation in Samoa, and they use torches. So she wanted to, you know, she goes, well, we can't give everybody a torch, but so she wanted to have torchbearers. Now, it's funny, it's not funny, but when we tell the fire marshal we want to carry torches as we walk down the aisle, they're not really pleased about that. But, you know, they let us do it somehow. I don't really know how. In fact, you know, they were, yeah. They were concerned, you know, because you're carrying a torch and you're wearing, you know, we were wearing one of those graduation hats, you know, the thing going down that, you know, could catch a guy's hat on fire and, you know, or stuff like that, and so, or the robe on fire and all kinds of stuff. But you know, we just have to have extra fire extinguishers down the aisle. So if we want to, and then we have we instead of everyone having their own torch, we have a flashlight, like a candle flashlight that they lights up and they carry it. And then we actually do a thing during our school song. We actually, you know, they have a motion where they turn the candle on. All this stuff happened really as a I'm the one who came up with all the ideas. I don't know how, because I don't think of myself as a real creative person. But Mom's idea, we just made it work. But back to the school song, she said she wanted to write a school song. So we had a guy who actually worked for us, and you know, he was a songwriter, and so he wrote a song. And played it for mom, and mom said, well, that's pretty good. That's a good start. But, you know, it's more of just like more of a verse. I mean, more of a chorus. Can we get some verses and stuff there for the song? So he said, let me take it back, and I'll work on it for another month. And so after he worked on it, he didn't even want to come back and face my mom. He said, Craig, I don't got anything. I can't come up with nothing. This is all I got. So I said, okay, I'll take care of it. I walk into my mom's office, and I said, you know, he's been working on the song. He just doesn't have anything, you know. So I guess we're just have to go with the song. No, this is not. I want more. I'm like, what? You expect me to write the song myself? He goes, I don't care who writes it. You know, we're gonna write it. So I'm not real good with notes. I mean, I don't really take a lot of notes. A lot of stuff. I remember a lot of things in my head. But this time, I said, okay, mom, what do you want in the song? And so, you know, she began to say what she wants, what she imagined. And the first thing she said was, you know, at graduation, whenever they sing the song, all the graduates stand up and said, you're standing there at graduation, and you're thinking about, you know, the years you were at Rhema, so I got him up with the first verse, standing here today. You know, so that's what she, mom said, standing, we're all standing there. And so anyway, so I got together some people, and we came up with some choruses and, I mean some verses and stuff like that, and finished the song, you know. And it's all because mom said that I can do it. She had faith in me. I didn't have faith in myself that I could do it. Never written a song, didn't know how to write a song. All I knew was this is what mom wants. But it's also interesting, the thing about it is, every time that mom wanted something, I always, you know, busted my rear end to make it happen too. So I guess that's something that, you know, some kind of like Jesus did. You know, whatever she wanted, Jesus was going to make her happy. Because, you know, they always say, if mom's not happy, nobody's happy in the home. But like I said, she really had put into me that, you know what, without Jesus, you know, we can't do everything, but with him, we can do all things. You know, and so sometimes there have been situations I've faced, and I'm like, you know, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to do. But I mean, then I remember my mom's favorite scripture, I can do all things through Christ. And it's not about me doing it, it's about me doing it through Christ. About me letting Christ help me do it. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes that we are so busy trying to control lives, trying to have the right, make the right decisions, say the right things, do the right things. I mean, you know, we live in a politically correct world. And I mean, that's what's kind of shaking the world, because we live in a politically correct world and we got a guy running for president who's not politically correct and said a lot of stupid things sometimes. And so it's breaking everybody's bubble, but he's winning. So I'm not sure, you know, even, you know, like him or hate him, it's interesting. So it's just some, you know, sometimes maybe we should forget about trying to do everything politically correct and doing the right thing and letting God help us. Quit trying to figure out how we're doing our own mind. Just like, you know, we're talking about our thought life. A lot of times we're trying so hard when sometimes it would be so much easier just to let the Lord help us. Because we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Through him that gives us the strength. That gives us, and a lot of times we all know this, the thing, and even though we know it says we can do all things through Christ, it's sometimes we read the verse and we forget it. We read the verse, I can do all things. The Bible does not say you can do all things. It says you can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, with Christ, because of Christ, it's all because of Christ. And so, you know, he'll give you the ideas. He'll give you, he'll make you creative when you're not really creative. You know, he'll give you ideas. He'll give you strength. He'll give you wisdom. I mean, you know, but we have to rely on him. You know, and I found out when you rely on him, you have to sometimes let go of the natural laws and natural things that you think about. You know, and you have to sometimes get out of control to let him be in control. You know, you have to, you know, maybe you think your life is spinning out of control, but you know what? You just have to just let go. Let go. You know, and I've seen it many times. I've seen, you know, people in their own life, they're going through stuff, and they're you know, they have good hearts, and I've seen a lot of times people say, well, I'm trying not to sin. I'm trying to live a better life. But you know what? As long as you're trying, as long as you're in control, you're not going to. Man, you got to give the things to Jesus. Just let him help you. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let him show you the way. It's so much easier. Really, I mean, he says that his yoke is easy. You know, I mean, it's burden is light. all we have to do is just is let go and let God sometimes. And like I said, you know, my mom, the biggest thing she helped me is decide that you know what, Jesus is in control, and it's not about me doing all things, it's about me doing all things through Him. And you know, there's been many times that I've accomplished stuff that I probably didn't think I could accomplish. You know, and I know they always, you know, there's an old saying, you know, that we can do anything we put our mind to. But that's not biblical. Biblical is we can do anything we put our mind to with Christ. We can do everything we put our mind to with Christ. If we let Christ help us, let him lead us, let him guide us, because you know, he will help us every time. But I believe that today is like today, that we need to remember our mom. And you know, and if your mom has passed on, you know, remember some of the good times. Remember some of the things that she's helped. Remember, you know, think about where you'd be without your mom. A lot of you probably wouldn't even, some of you might not be here, not existing anymore. Some of you might be here, but you sure wouldn't be in church. Especially if you had, you know, you came to church on your own. I mean, that would be like amazing, you know. But, you know, thank God for godly moms and godly influences. And, you know, and I believe that not only that, we should also, you know, as a mom or as a mom and dad, you know, or grandparents, that we should learn to let the Lord help us to be a godly example for our kids and example for our grandkids. You know, as we get older, I start saying grandkids now, and I don't feel that old, but I guess I am. You know, it's interesting, you know. This week is kind of a tough week for not a tough week, but just a week of reminiscing. One of my childhood friends passed on this week, and so I mean I have known him ever since I started school, you know, in kindergarten, and we played sports together all growing up. We went to you know, elementary school together. We went to junior high school. We went to high school together. We went to the same college. I mean, you know, actually, we both started out at different colleges, transferred into the same college. So, I mean, you know, known him all my life, and really kind of lost track with him, you know, mainly except for Facebook, you know, through the thing. But, you know, had his funeral this week, and we had a lot of old friends came back in town that were not in town. The ones that were in town, we kind of reconnected. And interesting, you know, seeing people you haven't seen, you know, some since a 10th year. You know, reunion, and started thinking, man, we're getting old. I mean, sometimes it's even hard to even recognize some of the people that I grew up with, and thinking, you know, we're old. And, you know, it's just tragic, though, you know, that stuff like that happens, you know, because really, you know, I feel like I'm getting old, but we're relatively young men compared to that. I mean, it was interesting to see all our old football coaches all showed up there, and, you know, but it's sad that the coaches had to, you know, they were still alive, and he passed on. So, you know, it's just, the devil's a liar. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know, he left a good family there without a dad to be there to be an influence. You know, so we shouldn't take things for granted. You know, as we get older, we should appreciate things even more. And I know I do in my life. I appreciate my mom. Wish I had my grandmothers to glean on. Don't have that, but you know, just more appreciative. And so on Mother's Day, you know, let's appreciate our moms. And if you haven't, I'm sure you've done so by tonight, you know, but if you haven't already, you need to call them, you know, text them. I don't care. You say, well, I'm, you know, me and my mom currently are not having a good relationship. Well, that's stupid. You know, get over it and write your mom, call your mom. I mean, just be glad your mom's still in existence. You know, so, you know, a lot of times that we hold grudges or harbor things against, you know, moms, dads, family members or whatever. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, you know, sisters, brothers, or whatever. People get jealous because, you know, they think, well, my mom likes my sister more than he likes me. And all that. That's all stupid stuff. Just, we're not in high school anymore. I look around the room; most of you aren't in high school anymore, at least. So, you know, just get over it. But you know, remember. And you know, today might be a good day to make some changes in your life. Maybe you have one of those praying moms that have been praying for you and really haven't been the kind of person you need to be. Let's have the eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. We thank you, Father, if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they'll come tonight to be able to make him Lord and Savior of their life. Or maybe they're here tonight and, man, they've kind of gone their own way. They kind of walked out on God. Father, we thank you for just tonight being a public rededication to God. And we thank you, Father, that their praying mom has been praying for them. And we thank you, Father, help them come back today. Or maybe here and they've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, they've heard about it. They've been afraid of it. But we thank you, Father, right now that they'll get that special Pentecostal experience tonight. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, or you want to rededicate your life to God, or want to be filled with the Spirit, just lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here tonight and you want to come down for one of these invitations, Father God, I don't see any hands, but we just thank you for your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. We thank you, Father, for being with all of us. And we thank you right now, if anyone is here that needs to be saved, Father, we thank you for sending laborers across their path. And we thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing. And we thank you, Father, for just helping them come to the saving knowledge of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may stand up. Let's all stand up. You know the way we do things around here. If you're here and you need healing in your body, anyone need healing before we go? If you need healing, lift your hand. We want to come on down here. Anybody else need healing? We want to minister God's healing power to you. If you need healing in your body, come on down here. You know, we've heard a lot of great testimonies right here from people who've been healed right here in this church, and there's some miraculous things that have taken place. You know, because Jesus is the healer. Amen. Amen. Now, if you don't need healing, I'm going to encourage you to just stretch out your hands toward these that need healing. I want you guys to remember, first of all, that I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. Don't put your faith in me. Put your faith in him. All right, I'm going to ask you to lift both hands toward heaven and close your eyes. And I want you to only think about one thing. Think about Jesus Christ. Think about how much he loves you, and think about him. Think about your healing. Father God, we just thank you right now for the healing power of God. And we thank you, Father. We lay hand upon the sick right now. We thank you, Father, that healing power will saturate each and every one of them. We thank you, Father, that as that power goes into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, we thank you, Father, that they are healed. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. That's it right there. That's it right there. The healing power of God's upon you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be healed now. There it is. There it is. We thank you for it now. The healing power of God's working throughout your body to effect a healing and a cure. There it is. That's it. That's it. Be healed. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. Oh, there it is. That's it right there. That's it right there. The healing power of God is working. It's working. It's working throughout your body to effect a healing and a cure. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. In the name of, oh, there it is. That's it right there. Be healed now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So if some of you haven't seen people fall in the power, I'll kind of give you a quick thing is, when the power of God hits people, sometimes their body can't stand it. So sometimes they fall. But falling does not heal you. Amen. That's just an accident that takes place. So don't want to freak anybody out, because some people get freaked out. Why'd they fall over? Some of they were just overcome with the power of God. Amen. It's okay to be overcome with the power of God. It's okay when the power of God hits you so much that you can't even stand up. Amen. Well, don't forget, next week is you know, we're having, first of all, we're having food. Don't forget about that. That's always a good thing. So, I know you have to come a little early, but you come over a little early and eat. But we also need you to bring some stuff as well. So, and then remember, it's mom's birthday. So, you know, sign the card. If you haven't signed, we'll have a hearing, sign her card. And if you want to give her something too, that's your prerogative as well. But, they do appreciate all of you. And they do, like I said, Dad, they were scheduled to preach this weekend, actually, but, you know, they were scheduled not to preach next weekend, so we kind of moved things around, and so sometimes Dad feels bad. He goes, well, I've been gone for like 3 weeks, they hadn't heard me. I said, they're okay, they're going to be okay, they'll make it, just show them how much you appreciate them. Amen? Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here, I'll be back at the door back there. If you don't want to shake my hand, you can go that door out there. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a wonderful day.